Welcome to Politics on the Right. I'm Egberto Willis, your host. Good morning, Houston. Good morning, Harris County. Good morning to the great state of...
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Lolly Focus Pops or Lolly Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Texas, and of course, good morning to this wonderful country, the United States. Why is the United States wonderful? Because it is made up of wonderful people. Of course, I'm not talking about you know whom's, but we are a wonderful country. Good morning to all the corners of the area that gets our 100,000 watt transmitter, Northeast and Southeast Texas, Northwest and Southwest Louisiana. And every nook and cranny that this signal bounce off the ionosphere and makes it somewhere else. We are going to have a great show for you today. One of the reasons why, because today also is Aquino's visiting day. Anyhow, folks, we're going to have a great time. But before we go to Brother Aquino, before we go to any of our videos, let's go to the genius, the geniuses in our studio on Caroline.
That's genius minus one.
Oh, you're flying solo today.
Yeah, yeah. Howard's out doing his thing.
Well, it's great having you, Jack. You know, you're going to have to be what we call the octopus, because you're going to be playing a whole lot. You're going to be multitasking up the gazoo. Anyway, what's the word of the day, my dear brother?
Well, I read your post this morning, and you know, nothing really makes me angrier than a major corporation on social welfare, i.e. subsidies. The corporate mantra is privatize the profits and socialize the cost, meaning the corporate uses taxpayer money to operate their businesses. Then the corporate keeps the profit that really belongs to you, John Q. Citizen. The corporate seems to be the underlying reason for most of the world's troubles today. And that's how I see it.
Well, it's not just how you see it, Jack. It's the way it is. And, you know, as long as we're here, that's what we're going to be fighting. But, you know, that's the name of the game. What with us, Jack, is the one and only the founder of the Houston Democracy Project, El Señor Neil Aquino. Neil Aquino, thank you so kindly for being here, getting up early in the morning to be with us. How are you doing this morning, my brother?
I'm doing well. McBurdo, Jack, good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Global Politics Done Right audience. Happy to be here.
Well, look, yeah, we got a lot to talk about today, Neil. Locally, we have a few things to talk about. Nationally, we have a few things to talk about. Internationally, we have a few things to talk about. We'll probably get to it, but you know, we have callers that call in as well. And our callers always and will always, or listeners and callers will always take precedence. Our telephone number is 713-526-5738. You can call at any time, 713-526-5738. We'll get started with Brother Aquino's blogs. I want to talk about Colin Allred, who came into town for the convention. You have some thoughts on that.
Right, great. And this is all on the Houston Democracy Project blog, HoustonDemocracyProject.com. Go to the website, look at the blog, and check out the effort. That's my effort. So I went to the Harris County Democratic County Convention this past Saturday. There were Democratic and Republican conventions in counties across the state. I heard secondhand that about 100 of the 254 counties had a Democratic convention. So that's something to work on. Our rural areas, there were not Democratic conventions. But one of the speakers at the Democratic convention here in Harris County, the main speaker was the Attorney General Keith Ellison of Minnesota, which caused a little bit of a flap. He was seen as a little too progressive by some, gave a fine speech. Colin Allred, the congressman from Dallas, was the was a visitor, and he went to each of the you go and you caucus by congressional district. I live in congressional district 38. So you caucus by congressional district, and he went and spoke to each of the congressional districts. My congressman is the appalling Wesley Hunt, horrible congressman. And Allred came, and he just said, you know, he said all the stuff.
The platitudes.
We got to beat Ted Cruz, blah, 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 blah. Okay. You know, but the thing is, he's talking to a group of super volunteers. He's talking to a group of super volunteers. These are precinct chairs. These are people who took their Saturday to go to the convention. And what he doesn't say is, here's how I'm working with your elected officials to win this race. He used the term, this is the most important election in U.S. history, twice, right? So you'd think that if this was the most important, and it may well be the most important election in U.S. history, but the problem is we keep having the most important election in U.S. history. 2016, this is the most important election. 2020, okay, but why don't we address some of the underlying conditions that are causing these anti-democratic and authoritarian threats? We're just told vote harder. Or if you're at the Democratic convention, and thank you to everyone who organized it, it was a successful event, you're told to volunteer harder. So Representative Allred is there, and these are older folks. These are, you know, many of these folks are older, and that's something I stress so often. These are the hours of our lives. Colin Allred's campaign is burning through millions and millions and millions of dollars. It doesn't leave any infrastructure of community, doesn't leave any infrastructure of turnout for the next election. It goes to consultants, it goes to digital ads. What I would have liked to have heard from Representative Allred is that I'm speaking to the state legislators in low turnout districts in Harris County, the Democratic state legislators. This is our plan. This is our program. Wish he'd said, there are 11 Democrats on Houston City Council. I understand none of them are here today. I'm speaking to them. And, you know, in our runoffs last year, we talked about them at length on Politics Done Right on our Thursday segment. They would tell you, I'm a Democrat. I'm a Democrat. I'm a Democrat. But then when it comes to, hey, we need you. No. That's a nonpartisan seat. So we're told every election that this is the most important election. And I certainly believe, and it's a premise of my democracy project, that we're facing an immediate white supremacist and or authoritarian threat. But at the same time, you can't keep telling people everything is on the line and then keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over. And as we'll get to a little later, time permitting, then tell people who are involved that you're involved in the wrong way, and that's a subject to come. But it's the same old thing, and Representative Allred is running this top-down campaign. It's top-down, except in terms of who he wants to do the legwork. That's bottom-up. But it's top-down who gets the benefits, and in 2 years and 4 years from now, assuming there are elections, we'll be told those are the most important elections, too.
Now, it's interesting because, first of all, Allred ran against what's his name?
Gutierrez.
Gutierrez
and State Senator Gutierrez from Uvalde and
Uva. Yeah, I'll take my hat off. I voted for Gutierrez because, again, Allred's campaign was very hard to get in touch with, and he displayed exactly what you said. It wasn't a grassroots thing asking for people's vote. It was It seemed like a consultant-driven operation. In fact, even right. One of his latter votes in Congress was to admonish Biden about
right.
the border. And right. that irked me because what that did is he did the same thing that I pretty much accused our former or current district attorney here in Harris County. As far as carousing with those who don't wish us well is what he right. did in Congress. Now, look, taking my host hat off, I'm voting for Allred because there's not an alternative now, right?
Right.
That is who the Democratic Party chose. The fascist party only have Brother Cruz to run against. Now, what I am trying to tell folks, you know, there are a lot of people that because we are continuing to get these neoliberal Democrats elected, that they don't want to vote for some of these people. I'm not telling them look at what the alternative is. That's as you pointed out, 2016, 2020, 2022, that argument is gone. All right. Stop talking about what's the alternative. I'm saying vote for the person that ultimately you're going to go in and not ask to do something for you, but force them to execute for you. Did you want to add before I finish that? Go ahead.
Let me just tell you, we can recognize that there's a fascist and authoritarian threat and still hold our own side accountable. These are not
mutually exclusive.
You've all been in these conversations and they're tiring. They're super tiring. Boy, I wish Alvarez was better. Well, we've got to defeat Ted Cruz. We've got to vote. And I'm like, man, I'm going to vote. I'm going to vote. But we have to hold our own side accountable. And here's the thing. They're telling us. So Congressman Allred himself tells you this is the most important election in history. He told you that. So, and Nancy Pelosi, all of them, Congressman Jeffries, democracy's on the line. That's why I'm here. That's why Alberto has me on the show, because democracy's on the line, and I'm saying that. But you can't tell me, hey, democracy's on the line, but I'm just going to do the same thing over and over. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to raise a zillion bucks. I'm not going to care about turnout. I'm not going to go to that state senator.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Or state representative who has district has credit turnout and say, hey, will you do something different? I'm not going to do any of that, but I am going to come to your convention and say, hey, 72-year-old who, you know, block walks when it's 90 degrees and a dog is on their heels. I'm really going to need you, right? I'm really going to need you. And it's the same thing over and over.
Let me tell you,
here we are closer and closer to authoritarianism.
Let me tell you what is the issue here, Neil, and I want our audience to understand what goes on here. What goes on is they don't want all of your votes. They just want enough of your votes. And the ones that they want, they know that they have to be somehow accountable to those who vote for them. So they just want enough. In the case of our neoliberal Democrats, they only want enough progressives to vote for them to win, but not to control the agenda. That's what it's all about. The idea is if we go ahead, like you are asking for, Neil, if we go ahead and say, let's, instead of paying $15,000 to a consultant who can micromanage your win by a little bit so that they can use an excuse when they're defending or supporting business projects, they can say, well, look, I have to get assistance from this side or that side. If they don't have that great output from progressives that give them their win, then they don't have to kowtow to the progressive policies that most Americans say that they want. They just kowtow to those they claim get elected and those they have to negotiate with to get policy done. And Biden learned the good way because, like I've spoken on this program several times, Biden is one of our most neoliberal presidents that have executed the most progressive set of policies. You think I'm going to vote for the brother again? You bet I am. That's off my host hat off, of course. And the reason why, again, is when you have Pramila Jayapal, when you have AOC, when you have Ilhan Omar, who disagree with him on quite a bit, but said, oh my God, he got the family leave done. He got all these projects done that progressive has been asking presidents to do for a long time. It's like, okay, I don't care what your nomenclature is. I want policy. And if you give me my policy, you'll get my vote. All right, and these folks, I think, are concerned that if they go to grassroots, they'll have to perform. They'll have to perform grassroots policy and not the policy of the funders that have given him millions as opposed to what they gave to Gutierrez or anybody else.
Right. That's right. That's right. And you alluded to something, you know, we'll have to, they don't want to go too far. First of all, they see a primary challenger under every rock.
Right.
That's part of the reason they want to activate people in their districts. And you'd referenced, you know, they want to remain in a position where they can still interact with the other side. And you see that from our state legislators. So, like, I can't criticize. There was a state senator, and I'm sorry, I forget his name, whom I watched. He's in Dallas area, who was asked the question in a debate, should we criticize Republicans? As a Democratic state senator, I'm sorry, I just can't recall his name. And he's like, no, I have to work with them. And you'll hear that here. But in our recent Republican primary on March 5th, and then headed into the runoffs, which are on May 28th, there are already extreme conservative caucus has moved further to the right. You've heard about Governor Abbott and Ken Paxton went around, Paxton trying to get retribution on the people who voted to impeach him. And of course, he just got away. He was supposed to have a trial here in Harris County, and he just got off with a slap on the list or on the wrist, because it just seems there are no laws sometimes. And then Abbott went after the people who opposed his vouchers. So now off of these issues, these rural folks have voted for people who are going to kill their public schools. I guess that's their problem and ours. But they say, hey, I got to get along with these Republicans, but they have moved even further right. And in the next legislative session, there's probably not going to be Democratic chairs. They're just moving further and further right. And many of our state representatives tell us, I got to work with them. Well, you know what, man, they're too far to the right to work with. At this point, and they're bringing
not only that, they don't even try to do what's necessary to work with Democrats. The truth of the matter is,
right.
You work with sensible people, and when you're for when the people, you know, we have to get to the point where we understand when the people force the politicians to do it. I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican, you're going to ultimately do what the people ask you to do if they realize that their job is on the line.
Yeah. Yep. That's the case. And you can agree that this is the most important election. You can agree the Republican Party is dangerous to your freedom and dangerous to your physical and mental well-being as well. Frankly, this is such a source of stress. At the same time, you can hold Democrats accountable. You can hold the people you vote for. You have to hold them accountable because what they're doing isn't working. 8 years ago, this is the most important election of our lifetime. Now, we're 8 months shy of a Viktor Orban type figure, Trump, winning migrant roundups across the country. We're now 8, 9, 10 months shy of that reality. And it is still the same crap from our side of the aisle. Hey, don't just listen to us. Just go out and volunteer. Send me a donation, and your voice. I don't want to hear.
But it's even deeper than that as well, Neil. Because you know, Biden is collecting a landslide of money. It's like money is falling off the in an avalanche off the mountains, right? And you know where that money is going to go? That money is going to go to a bunch of high-priced consultants who don't have a clue. What people in third ward, fourth ward, what people in the barrios and ghettos of Chicago, what people in Appalachia really want, etc. You know, I mean, if I were collecting all that money, I tell you things that I would do. I would start flooding places like, and you know, people kind of get pissed when I keep harping on Appalachia, right? But I see Appalachia as our delta. In math, our delta, the bridge. I know, but people look at the folks out there, it's like, oh, really? And I'm like, if you do the math, if you do the science, if you get Appalachia, it's all over. And you know who had realized that several years ago? Jesse Jackson. And you know who had done fairly well in some of these parts? Jesse Jackson.
Well, you—that's—that's actually—that's if go and Google if you're listening today, Go Google Jesse Jackson's 1984 convention speech to the San Francisco convention. I used to have a vinyl album of it. I was 17, 18 years old. I could recite it. He talked about the desperate, the damned, the disinherited, the disrespected, and the despised. Red, yellow, brown, black, and white. We are all precious in God's sight. I could speak to that speech. And I lived in Cincinnati, which at the time no longer does, unfortunately, had a substantial Appalachian population. There was an urban Appalachian council. Those folks, and a lot of white folks struggle with race. Those folks did vote for LBJ. Those folks did vote for Jimmy Carter in many respects over Reagan. They moved to the right like so many of their brothers and sisters in Kentucky and West Virginia. But in fact, West Virginia was one of the six states to vote for Jimmy Carter over Ronald Reagan and was one of the 10 states to vote for Mike Dukakis over the first George Bush. These folks are not so they need some help, they need some attention, they need some respect, they need to get out of these racial traps that unfortunately they've allowed and bitternesses that they've allowed to fall themselves into. But they are not people to give up on. They are people who sustain much of the great society. And Robert Kennedy, the real Robert Kennedy, of course, and Lyndon Johnson went there and spoke to us. But I really appreciate that. And you would hear people use, I won't use the term on the air. You would hear people use a common derogatory slang towards Appalachian people, sometimes in Cincinnati. And I'd be like, no, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that stuff. And I appreciate that you do mention those folks. Those are important voters. And it wasn't that long ago where they didn't let the racial attitudes dominate what they were doing. And unfortunately, along with the fact that they've been economically screwed, they do a little bit today.
You know, Neil, you know who else recognizes that? And I interviewed him and I spoke to him both personally and on air about it. Reverend Barber of the Poor People's Campaign.
Right. Who was just here a couple of—
Yeah. And, you know, I interviewed him like 4 or 5 weeks ago. And he said, you know, and it's interesting because I had a thing. I looked at Barber and I said, you know, Reverend, you know, when will people stop voting against their own interests? And he said, Egberto, stop. People are voting their interests. And he went through, I need to cut the clip out of that program because I got a schooling as far as we have to make them we have to give them their interests if they're going to vote for us. We have to be more respectful. Look, I know all the racist stuff, all that kind of stuff, but it's time for those of us in politics to be adults and understand how policy is made, how people are reared, et cetera. When we become adults in the way we vote, and I'm talking the leadership in who we prime to vote, et cetera. When we become adults, things are going to change. But anyway, folks, please remember this is a call-in show, 713-526-5738. Today we have the honor of having, once again, it's Thursday, Neil Aquino, very hard worker with the Houston Democracy Project, HoustonDemocracyProject.com, HoustonDemocracyProject.com. He's a blogger. He's a community organizer, and he does a lot of work to make sure that our democracy remains not just in Houston. Yes, he calls it the Houston Democracy Project, but it's all around. Neil is on the go all of the time. So if you take a look, he's working with the what's the group, the progressive group that we're all part of?
Texas Alliance. And actually, that excerpted clip of Barber would be great programming for Texas Grassroots Alliance live stream, which is a series that we're doing 2 or 3 times a week on different social media platforms to have an autonomous, progressive, and pro-democracy political voice.
I am going to clip that. Remind me to clip it. I'll clip that and forward it on to you so you can play it there, because that interview with Barber was supposed to be a short interview, and it went pretty long. I just enjoyed talking to the man with the Poor People's Campaign. Okay, folks, telephone number is 713-526-5738. Again, that number is 713-526-5738. Before we go on to the other topic that you wrote in your blog about the Palestinian activity, Palestinian protests, etc., I want to play a a video here. And folks, remember that everything that we have to cover on any given day, whether we cover it or not, you can go to politicsdoneright.com/newsletter. Again, that is politicsdoneright.com/newsletter. And all the links to the videos, links to the articles, etc., are there for all to see. But of course, you always take precedence in whenever you call. Telephone number 713-526-5738. Again, that number is 713-526-5738. Anil, I have a little 7-minute piece that I need to play here. And it covers Truth Social. Because there's much that's exposed there that I think Americans need to know. So we'll talk about that and we'll come right back. Folks, check this out and then we'll take it on the other side. Let me first say, I strongly believe in free enterprise. I strongly believe in democracy. What I definitely don't believe is the stock market is by any means a healthy institution for a democracy. In fact, it defies democracy. Whenever we try to make the assumption that there is some kind of direct correlation between capitalism, meaning the stock, in this case, the stock market and how we capitalize companies, have anything to do with democracy, it's a joke. The reality is it's a gambling system for those who control the purses of the country. I want you to listen to this because, you know, Truth Central, I think the DJT stock, that's a symbol of Trump's stock. I think it's the best thing that we could use to show the fraud that is the stock market and in that regards, all economic systems that are based on this particular type of institution. And the reason why is it shows that it can create the inference of wealth. But not only that, in the process of doing that, we see that it really means nothing. And in fact, likely for the first time for all eyes to see, it's how a president can be purchased. Check this out, and then we'll take it on the other side.
Donald Trump's social media company traded on the NASDAQ. For the first time yesterday, the stock for the parent company of Truth Social rose about 16% in its first day of trading, giving the company a market value close to $8 billion. Trump's 60% stake is worth about $4.6 billion on paper. Joining us now, NBC News senior business analyst and host of the 11th Hour, Stephanie Ruhle. So, Steph, can he somehow dip into all that to pay his legal bills, or is it not that simple?
It's not that simple, but he could make a ton of money off of this, Mika, right? He owns over 60% of this company, and right now it is all on paper, but you have the stock soaring. He can't sell his position for 6 months, but he can get a waiver and sell earlier. And that waiver might not be that difficult to get because his son and a bunch of his closest allies are on the board of the company. So you could actually see Trump monetize this. Now, where this thing is trading and the actual real value of this company are a zillion miles away from one another, right? You know, we've been saying it for days. They brought in about $3.5 million in ad revenue and lost tens of millions of dollars, right? They make less money than your average single operated cheesecake factory. However, it's trading at a really high valuation. You could see the company issue new shares, pay out dividends, and Trump could actually end up getting paid a whole lot of money here.
So John Heilman, there are people out there, Democrats mostly, who think, man, Donald Trump just keeps getting away with it. And this is a moment where he's in real financial straits and voila, a lifeline seems to emerge, perhaps allowing him to get away with it. And it occurs, as Steph and I were talking here off camera a moment ago, this would be a pretty convenient way for someone who is trying to invest in the next president or try to make an off-the-books donation to Trump World. Well, you can do it through this company. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, look, Steph knows a lot about the markets than I do. I will say when people talk about the stock market as being the best reflection of the, quote, wisdom of crowds. You look at this and you have to wonder whether there's any truth to that whatsoever. This does not seem To reflect the any wisdom. And I'm not sure it really reflects much of a crowd either. But Steph, I think the, you know, the, whatever you and Lemire were talking about off camera seems like the reality here. This is a political hedge, right? For if you're a Trump friend, this is a way to do a kind of donation potentially to Trump. The board will, I would imagine, easily allow him the waiver that you were talking about before, given the way the board is stacked. But on top of that, if you're an ordinary investor, or a Wall Street investor, are you not here just putting some money in Truth Social, which could be a very valuable company if Donald Trump is elected president in November, and suddenly you have a favored company in the social media sphere by the president, who will almost certainly not divest himself of any ownership. You suddenly got state media going here. That could be a very valuable investment. However, if Trump loses in November, man, I would not want to be sitting in the stock on Truth Social the day after Joe Biden beats him, if that happens.
Yes, but I would say that it's twofold, John. You've got one crowd buying up this stock, and these are the meme stock boys, right? These are the Wall Street Bets traders that flooded the market in 2019. All those bros on Reddit who are going to, you know, take this thing to the moon. They could absolutely lose their shirts, along with people who are, you know, pledging their loyalty to Donald Trump, the same people who are buying the sneakers and the Bible, who know it's a grift and they love it. Then there is this group of really smart Wall Street financiers, not your traditional investors that look at the fundamentals and say, I'm not going for this, but this is basically an options bet, right? If you're this guy who's been in the news for the last week, Jeff Yass, a huge Republican donor, he's co-founder of Susquehanna, an investment firm in Pennsylvania. He's the richest guy in the state. He's a huge investor in ByteDance, which is TikTok. Yeah, it makes sense as an options trader to buy this call option on a potential next president. You're still hedged. And guess what? If this works, this is great for you. It's an unregulated donation. And you've got the president, the potential future president, under your thumb.
I hope you understand this. The reality is the wealth created by that stock, DJT, for Donald Trump in this short term that he could capitalize on if he can sell it without the stock crashing. Actually, if he sells it, some rich person that wants favors, if they believe he can offer it, will keep that price up. Remember, the price is valued at whatever somebody is willing to buy it for. And this is a backdoor way to fund Donald Trump, to pay Donald Trump off for whatever services he's going to render you without it having to look like a bribe, but it is nothing more than a bribe. Folks, the system we've been speaking about, the stock market and all these institutions being legalized fraud. I think DJT should be the example that illustrates that this entire economic system based on a stock market is nothing but a fraud.
We spend a lot of time deconstructing.
Now, I want you guys to think about this because this is very, very important. This is superbly important. DJT is a small, call it Twitter. That's true social. A small Twitter, if you will. It makes no money, about $5 million or so, I think it's made in the first 9 months of the year. Reddit doesn't make a profit yet either, but Reddit makes about $800 million. Reddit goes public. Truth Social goes public. Good morning, Melanie Keelan from Barcelona, Spain. Goes public. They're equivalent in the amount of stock they were able to sell. The valuation of Truth Social, let's call it $8 billion. I've read it, $8 billion. People, understand that when we tell you that our economic system is an imaginary machine controlled by a few hands, there's no damn market. Everybody always say, let the market decide. I can go down a list to show you that the market decides nothing. A bunch of guys get together and they play ball with the market. Every now and then they succeed. Well, they succeed a lot of times because the snow is over your head. And whenever they fail, then they ask us to bail them out. when their machinations with creating these different financial instruments fail, we get 2008. We get 2020, the 20s. I mean, you know, we get all these things when their calculations go bad, because again, the economic model is not a sustainable model. Our current economic model is simply not a sustainable model. We discuss that over time. But anyway, before we change subject, do you have anything you want to add to that, Neil?
I mean, I just right. That money could be coming from anywhere. Anybody. That money could be coming from anywhere. But what just I kept linking it over the Truth Social and the fact that he got all this money, because we kept hearing he couldn't pay Letitia James. The judgments against him in New York State, and the Attorney General of New York was going to take the building and all that. He then gets a break and only has to pay $175 million or whatever it was off of the $400-something million. But I kept linking it to the Ken Paxton having his nine-year securities fraud dropped. It was like, so here's Trump. Oh, he's broke. He can't pay this judgment. Oh, now he's got $5 billion. The New York Times, wherever, said for the first time ever on paper, Trump was one of the 500 richest people in the world. First time ever after all this, of this. And then Paxton, you know, and there was the trial was going to be Judge Andrea Bell in the criminal court, local judge, you know, and was going to, and no. 100 hours of community service. And you're just like, man, are there no laws? Is there no, well, is there any
that
way
is,
that these
that,
brought to a
Let me tell you, Neil, you know, when we talk about the privilege of a class, okay, that is the height of privilege. I mean, yesterday we had a caller that, you know, that just thought the reason they settled the case was that they didn't have a case. No, they did have a case, because you know who copped to the case? The Paxton copped to say, yeah, I did this illegally, to which they said, okay, now that you've admitted that, we'll slap you on the wrist because you're special. You are special. If it's a guy who robbed that 7-Eleven and took $20, and rather took, what is a felony? I think it's over $200. It's a felony. And he took and stole X amount of money. He'll be thrown away. Oh, we got a caller. Come on in, Joe.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine. Talk to me, brother Joe.
Hello? Oh, good, man. Truth Social, man. And finance and big money, you know, and it reminds me of the George Carlin, you know, clip on YouTube. You know,
I love George Carlin. Thank you for bringing that up.
It's a big club and you ain't in it, right?
Man.
And you know, the thing is, the reason I do a lot of the things that I do, because Trump ain't in that club either. Right. Or he didn't used to be. We'll see. The unfortunate, don't talk about Republicans. You know, you can talk about Republicans, but remember, the Republican Party is bifurcated right now. There's MAGA Republicans, and then there are these rhino Republicans. Let's just call them that. I hate that term, but they're purple. Right. They'll fold up like a cheap suit. The first chance they get, they'll sell out in a heartbeat, just like any politician, whatever your stripe. Right. But what I wanted to mention today was there's a blogger, and you mentioned it the other day and it made me think. You said, oh man, I could make all kinds of money if I wrote for the right wing, you know? And I read about this case of a blogger. He's a partner at a law firm, and he's got a YouTube channel with a million followers or so. And let's see if I can find his name. Trial by Preston is his name. He just kind of opens the door on what's, you know, a huge underground economy that you alluded to the other day. He says he was offered sums of money to go to spread anti-Trump January 6th insurrection lies. And the request they sent him was very explicit. He had to say the criminal conspiracy. He had to say, quote, Trump Republicans. He had to say, quote, January 6th insurrection. Right. And so, you know, he turned the money down. He's a man of integrity. right? But it makes me wonder about all those other, you know, the day after the 2020 election fraud, everyone was saying Trump's baseless claims. It's as if that word baseless had to be included to get paid. Anyway, I just wanted to mention
Joe,
that. And
then Joe, let me ask you a couple of questions because I give you a lot of time to talk, but I need to talk to you now.
Thank you, man.
Yeah. I'm trying to get through your thought process. Why is it that you think, first of all, do you believe that more than that Trump lost the popular vote in this last election by 7 million people?
I think that Trump won the 2020 election.
No, I'm talking 2020. Yeah, do you think that 7 million, let's forget about the Electoral College for now. Do you think 7 million more people voted?
No. The Electoral College, the Electoral College is important, man.
I'm asking you for the purpose of this discussion. I'm asking you to disregard that for now. I'm not talking about importance. I'm just asking you to disregard that. I'm asking, do you think that Trump really lost the popular vote by 7 million people?
I don't know.
Okay, well, that's what the rolls say, right? That's what things that count out to be. The other thing that I want to ask you is, on all the elections that the particular states that Trump is disputing, all the Republicans in that state, they won. Like if you take a look at Wisconsin, they won their close to supermajority. Republicans did. And all the Republican Congress people and senators and so forth, they won the election. In fact, even the close election between Johnson and I don't remember the name of the senator the guy who ran against him, he won. All the arguments that I think were made that said machines were corrupted, et cetera, you would have to say that they only corrupted the item in these machines for Donald Trump. And that would be a hell of a secret to hold. I mean, you're a smart guy. I know that you're in the oil business, that kind of stuff. I just don't see how you constantly buy into this huge conspiracy that so many people came in, including the 63 judges that ruled against Trump, to say that the election was stolen. I just don't see how somebody of your caliber buys into that discussion. So maybe you can help me there.
Yeah, it's because I think that you don't really need to go out and poison every county in the United States. You know, if you're a savvy operator and you recognize that really looking at the numbers for every election, it boils down to probably just a few cities that decide the election. And within those cities, just a few precincts within those cities that really need to be poisoned. So you know where to focus your mail-in ballots or, you know, whatever method.
Okay, but don't you think there ought to be more proof on that? I mean, this would be magical for something like this to happen. I mean, I just don't understand how you can convince yourself of that. And like I said, I personally think you're too smart to buy into that sort of thing. I think a better thing to do would be to buy into, you just happen to like Trump because he's going to stick it to the system. But the truth of the matter is most people are not, if you take all polls, even the polls that show him substantially there, right? Most people don't think or don't like Trump. So, I mean, I think it's important that we understand that. And it's not about hating Trump. Look,
I don't like him.
I know you don't.
I wouldn't like him either. Who likes a brash New Yorker, right?
But hold on, Joe. So there's something, Joe, a smart person like you, there is something that I don't understand, that Neil doesn't understand. And I think maybe you don't understand. Why there is a certain group of folk that can gravitate to this guy. I mean, I have some hunches. You really want to stick it to the system and both of the systems have failed. I think there's a lot there, but I don't know. But I tell you what, my calls are starting to keep up, and I think I gave you a lot of airtime. So let's keep talking. You keep calling that. I love hearing your voice. All right, brother?
Appreciate you, Egberto. We'll see you down the road.
All right, man. Take it easy. Let's go to Joni. Come on in, Joni.
Good morning, Egberto. Just two things. I want to address Joe particularly, and I appreciate that, you know, Joe and Brian and the people from the right that call actually stay on the line. I want to talk about, if I get to people that just hang up after they say something because they don't have to defend it, and they'll stay and talk. So I appreciate that. So anything Donald Trump does is considered good. And if it's bad press, then it's considered fake news. And no one remembers, and it should get hammered over and over again, that he accused Ted Cruz of cheating in the Republican primary back in 2016. He was lying to Ted because he won. Ted Cruz won that. I think it was in Iowa. I can't remember which.
Yeah, he won in Iowa. That's the first. That's where he won.
Iowa. Okay, so Ted. Okay, so Ted Cruz wins, and actually wins, and Trump yells that he's cheated. This is the way, and I've heard he does that in golf games, which is just, that's sacrilegious, you know. So you don't just because you lose does not mean someone has cheated. Now, you can't prove. Back in the Bush era, I didn't like that we were going to electronic voting. I said that's probably going to be the end of being able to make, really make sure, you know, you don't have paper to count. But, you know, we've got people now that will even question if you've got actual paper ballots. So, but my point being, Trump, if he loses, somebody's cheated. Always. That's always going to be the case. He's going to say somebody's cheated if he loses. And then to people that...
No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Joni. I interrupted.
Okay. About the Israeli quickly, the Israeli conflict right now. Somebody called last week and hung up, a lady named Lee, I believe. And she said, oh, they need a root of Hamas, so it's okay what they're doing. Okay. So what she is not acknowledging and didn't want to talk about is that this Netanyahu government, I'm not talking about the Israeli people, I'm talking about Netanyahu's government, wants to consider, they are actively, he is actively creating people who are going to hate Israel from the people who are alive today that are three. He knows he's creating what he himself is defining as Hamas by, you know, the bombs and the, you know, unreasonable response. And I'd like to point out too that the people who were killed in that, or the Jewish people that were killed, were liberal Jews. So it's like people he would be willing to sacrifice that were trying to work toward a Palestinian state, work toward Palestinian rights. So these are people that Netanyahu himself would have been willing to sacrifice for the sake of, and they already knew about it. They knew it was going to happen.
Joan, let me just tell you, he did sacrifice them. They knew this thing was going to happen. They knew the potential was there for this to happen, and he didn't stop it. And you have to ask, why did it take so many hours before this very well militarized country sent people in to protect these liberal folks who were getting slaughtered, 1,200 of them, by Hamas? Now, that said, what Netanyahu has proven is that he is no, and I want all my friends that are Jews as well to understand that this is how all the world sees Netanyahu. Netanyahu is likely worse than Hamas. And I repeat that, and I can repeat that with clear conscience and a clear and pure heart. Anybody who can murder innocent people, dropping bombs indiscriminately, destroying infrastructure where people lay under, that is not war. That is genocide. No. That is, I mean, and we have to be honest in saying these things. This has nothing to do with our Jewish friends at all. This has with a Netanyahu who looks at, and we have videos of Netanyahu and his followers talking about these people being less than human. And they are treated as less than human. You cannot, look, for all my Jewish, my Jewish brothers and sisters who know pain, who know what it is like to be discriminated against, who went through the Holocaust. You should be marching against what this false prophet Netanyahu is doing to other human beings in your name. Anything else, Joni, before I jump to Patrick?
Yeah, one more thing. He will not stop until he has destroyed and or removed from that area that is Palestine and is by the Israeli government been considered Palestine. He will not stop until they are all gone, which is the definition of genocide. So exactly. That's what's happening. And, you know, anybody that denies it doesn't see reality. And I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much, Jonah, for your thoughts and your words. Let's go to Patrick. Come on in, Patrick.
Hey, good morning. Johnny pointed out that Trump likes to always, anytime that he's not a success, something was stolen from him or he was robbed. Frontline did a montage where they went through about 15 different events where I think it was like Academy Awards or some awards. And every time he didn't get voted in or he didn't get the award, it was always stolen or it was rigged. And it's the same vocabulary over and over. He's not even creative in his lies. I'd also like to point out that you're being very kind to people that think that he should be president. And the people that you're addressing will fully acknowledge that the majority of the people do not want him president, but they still want him in there. And right. I'd like to point out that nobody really talks about Al Gore, but when I was concerned about having a court appointed president that was not voted in, I was told to quit crying and to leave the country.
Exactly.
Right. We have evidence that is what they told us. Was not voted in. And people trying to cram him into the office. Against there the you will, go. Mostly.
Patrick, thank you for bringing that up. And Neil wants to say something on that regard.
I'll say two things to that. To Patrick's comment, of course, Joe Lieberman died yesterday. If you remember the people who were trying to cram him in and bullying people in the voting centers in Florida, and they used to have a sign or T-shirts that said "Sore Loser Man." Right. Instead of Gore Lieberman. Right. Sore Loser Man. Get over it. And then the other thing, it is Trump's personality to say, I got robbed. But to put a local angle on it, go ahead.
Oh no, I'm saying I have five calls and I got to wrap up real quick.
Oh, I have nothing more insightful to five excellent callers. Go ahead.
All right, let's Patrick. I got to jump to Moses and then let's go to Moses real quick.
Buenos días, mijito.
Buenos dias, corazón. You got exactly 30 seconds, my beautiful lady, because we all started calling late. But come on in, Moses.
Hey, what I'm going to say concerning Netanyahu, all must understand, and especially as Jews, we have to understand, among the kings and leaders of Israel, Netanyahu is one of those who have caused Israel to sin and incur God's wrath and anger against Israel. Go and read. From Jeremiah up to Malachi, and you will see who Netanyahu is in the annals of Israeli history. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you so kindly for your words, Moses. Let's go to Mark. Come on in, Mark.
Good morning, Alberto.
Good morning.
I just quick speak to what Joe was talking about. We can see our eyes. We can see the popularity of Trump during the election and the lack of popularity of Joe. There's enough questions about the way the election was handled with mail-in ballots. And I'm not talking about absentee ballots, but there were mass mail-in ballots. And while none of that really ran through the court other than to be dismissed because of the lack of standing, we'll probably never know for sure who won the popular vote. We can see what's going on at the border with our own eyes. So we don't need people's interpretation of it. We can see what's going on.
Okay, Mark, let me, Let me just tell you that I'm running out of time, but let me just say one thing. This forum is open for you to come and give your opinions anytime. Call back tomorrow. You can bring that up more in detail because there's so much that I want to address of what you just said, but I got to jump to Brian. But thank you for calling. Call tomorrow. You will get your airtime, sir.
Sure thing.
All right. Let's go to Brian. Come on in, Brian.
Hey, Mom.
Talk to me, brother.
Am I on?
Okay. Yes, you're on.
Yeah, just last week, there was an election official from Arizona that there was 140,000 fraudulent mail-in ballots. He went before Congress. 140,000 in one area, right, in ballots were bad. Exactly two people were brought up on charges. So, yeah, I don't know what happened. But I do know that I was traveling around the country and I saw 60 to 1 Trump posters towards Trump against Biden. It was at least 60 to 1. I called a friend in Klamath Falls, Oregon. She said that she sees about the same thing.
And all right, let me just tell you a position of many of Democratic Party. We don't believe that signs work. So they don't put their money and effort in signs. They put their money and effort elsewhere. The amount of signs have little to do with who wins an election. And it didn't start with Donald Trump that signs don't create the winners of elections. It's a lot deeper than that. But Brian, call tomorrow when we have more time. I want Neil to be able to close up right now. But thank you for your calls and thank you for your thoughts, brother. Call tomorrow. Neil, close her up for me.
Great. Thanks. Thanks for letting me be on. Don't forget the HCAT elections on May 4th for our County Assessment Board. We'll talk that more as we're going on. They're very important. Democracy Project, democracyproject.com. Got daily blog content and all sorts of content. Please check it out. Thanks for having me on.
Hold on, Neil, you dropped out a bit. So repeat how they can find your website again. Okay, Neil is having some problems. I'll say, please go to HoustonDemocracyProject.com for all the blogs that he writes. Neil is a very important organizer here in the area, and he's working very hard to make sure that our democracy survives. Let's go and finish up here with our brother in the studio. That is El Señor Jack, who operated everything solo, and everything went perfectly well. Jack, thanks for your great work.
Thank you. Thank you, Egberto, for your great work. I'm just going to say this bluntly. Netanyahu is oil tool. They push down a pipe to get something done.
Thank you, brother. Anyway, folks, I want to thank all our callers. And by that, I mean all our callers, left, right, middle, everything else. The only way we can move forward is having a discussion, convincing others of things, having logical, and where we have to disagree, we disagree. But the thing about it is, let's not let the externalities keep us apart. Let's not do that. Otherwise, they win. We're in the same boat. When we realize that, things will work as it should, and we will get the democracy that we've earned. We will get the democracy that we deserve. And this is not just pie in the sky kind of a talk. This is actually the way it is. So I got to get out of here. My name is Egberto Willis. I want to thank Jack and everybody else. I want to remind you to please stay tuned for Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. My name is Egberto Willis. It's Politics and Right. And you guys know how I end this, baby. I am what? Out.
We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please join.